My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 23, The Island Between Worlds. We celebrated the white nights in the streets of Kirkwall, so filled with music and laughter, and I played my ballad, as promised, encouraged by an accommodating and enthusiastic audience. Denise was bursting with pride and kept urging me to put on another show in Eau Claire when we arrived back home, and wouldn't let up until I said yes. I felt guilty in the morning for having so much fun and neglecting my studies, and thought I should take the papers I had begun to see in my dreams back to the Heritage Society and see if I could find more. The council members were busy organizing the yearly trip to Enhallow. Every time I think I learned the ways of Orkney, it surprises me again. Listen, kindred, listen and learn, for I'll tell you the story of the Holy Isle. Enhallow is the tiny heart of the archipelago, tantalizingly close to the mainland, always in sight but rarely accessible, even though it lies a mere 500 feet from the shore. It is uninhabited now. It was abandoned in 1851 after the typhoid epidemic took the lives of the four families who lived on it. The Orcadians, who destroyed the dwellings to make sure they remained uninhabitable, uncovered the ruins of an old stone church, the Old Enhallow Kirk, a small Romanesque structure which echoes details of St. Magnus Cathedral. The sea's fierce tidal races guard the small island jealously, and the lighter boats don't dare venture into their perilous waters. There is no ferry to Enhallow. The Orcadians abandoned the island to the puffins, the seagulls, and the seals. Nobody is even allowed to step foot on it for 364 days out of the year. It can only be reached for one day in summer, when the Heritage Society organizes its yearly trip there. Everything in Orkney is steeped in legend and mystery, and Enhallow is said to be haunted by sea trows who make it melt into thin air should anyone attempt to step foot on it, to be inhabited by shape-shifting finfolk, creatures of the sea who only come on land in summer. It is said to exist between worlds, and it really seems to be, always visible and always out of reach, lost to history, with its beginnings shrouded by the mists of time. Nobody knows why this tiny heart-shaped patch of leathery grasses is called the Holy Isle, which is what its Old Norse name means. Some things are meant to remain a mystery, such as the nature of enchanted realms. You don't pass on the opportunity to visit a forbidden land when fate drew you to it on purpose. The gate between worlds had opened, and I was invited in. By whom, I wonder, Fiona? Given the legends and the lore which seem to follow me around, the strange alignments of seasonal solar events and always seeming to find myself in places with deep spiritual significance at just the right time. I ran all the way back to the bed and breakfast to share the good news with my sister, who was not nearly as enthusiastic as I and asked for extensive amounts of detail. Was the island water still fouled? Did the roost pose a danger to the ferry? Why go there in the first place, if it was only populated by bird colonies and seals? All the reasonable questions a person not given to legend and lore would ask, all but the one a crazy person like me would ask. Would the spirits grant us safe passage into their world? But then again, we were invited. I don't know, Betty, she hesitated, although it was clear she'd go if I had to drag her there. Whatever you do, you just seem to end up in strange places, away from society. Are you sure you don't want to put on some sackcloth and ashes and go live in a hermitage? Actually, some believe there used to be a monastery there, but nobody knows for sure. I patted my sister on the shoulder to reassure her. Lighten up, pussycat, there's going to be a large group. The organized trip to Enhallow is the event of the year. How do you even consider passing on it? We're so lucky. Okay, when is it? Tomorrow. You can't possibly be serious. You just happen to have business at the Heritage Society the day before this event? I know, right? It was a coincidence, Ethel. You need help, crazy. I'm sure it was, Denise. Just wear comfortable shoes. We're going to walk a lot. As violent as the roosts are, the waters of the channel are so shallow that when the water is clear, you can see the remnants of the ancient settlements the sea had claimed for itself. In ancient times, the Holy Isle was a part of the landmass and not an island at all. I've been here before, I'm absolutely sure of it, in a dream or a vision, perhaps. The grassy hills strewn with boulders, the ruins of the old church open to the sky and reclaimed by vegetation laying down plush green carpets between its old walls, the ease with which I find my foot rests on the path, the sounds of the birds. I've been here before. I remember the boat being drawn close to shore in shallow waters. Louise, Louise, come here, you have to see this. I followed my sister's voice to a breathtaking sight. A gently sloping bluff overlooked the sea, blanketed by delicate masses of pink sea thrift, swaying gently in the breeze, turning shades and colors like it was liquid. "This is breathtaking," Denise exclaimed. "And to think you didn't want to come," I reproached. "Careful with that slope, Denise. It's a long way down." "Yes, Mom. I was just worried I'd end up underground again." "You know, the more I've been here, the more the myths make sense. There's nothing strange about telling stories of people living inside the hills if they actually do." "I wish we could stay here forever," Denise waxed poetic. "And that's where going away with the fairies probably came from," I laughed. "You can't, silly. It's a protected historical site." "Just a bit longer, Betty," she smiled blissfully, with her eyes closed and her face upturned to catch all the sunlight like a radiant sunflower. The sea thrift swayed with her, following her unconscious motions, as if they were of the same fabric, human and plant life, the same essence. "The ferry will be leaving in 15 minutes, a voice carried from the top of the hill. "Don't you worry, we'll take a full count before we leave. We wouldn't want to leave you here stranded with the finfolk for an entire year," he joked. "Be ready to take your leave." "Why do you think it was abandoned, Louise? Can't be the typhoid. It's been almost 2 centuries since then." "I don't know," I shrugged. "The strangest thing about the other realms is you don't know you are in them at all, because they look just like the world you're used to." "They look the same, but they are of a different essence, where the laws of your common reality do not apply and you only realize that when it's too late to turn back." "This passage is so subtle it's almost impossible to pinpoint it, no matter how many times you retrace your steps, and thus, you can never find it again. As time passes, it erases all the clues that hint at reality, and suddenly you realize that you have always been living in this world, and leading a life where the normal reality is the other world. Alice through the looking glass and all that. Let's go, Ethel. Lovely as this has been, I don't want to be left here alone," Denise mumbled uncomfortably.
"What is it, sis?
Can't you feel it? You're supposed to be the psychic one."
"Feel what?"
"Them. They are here." "Don't ask stupid questions, Betty Louise. Don't ask who is there. I'm jealous, you know. I wish I were as sensitive as Denise, so I could feel them too. Be careful what you wish for, right?" "Come on," she prompted. "We're late, it's rude." Gradually, as the ferry moved from the island, its shape started to merge with the horizon until I could no longer make it out. The otherworldly inhabitants had said goodbye to the human visitors and concealed their forbidden land from sight. Denise was quiet on the return journey to Kirkwall, and I left her be to think about the events of the day and her profound spiritual experience. She burst eventually, irritated by my silence. "You're not human, Ethel, you functional deaf-mute." "Just thought I'd leave you to your thoughts," I replied.
"Who can think? I'm starving."
She spent the rest of the trip in a sour mood, thinking up delicious foods to enjoy the second we got off the boat.